Well, today on the Trending 55 Hot Seat, we've got a very special guest joining us here right now, the Speaker of the Alberta Legislature, Nathan Cooper. I guess, first of all, sir, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Well, it's my great pleasure, Kyle. Thanks so much for having me on. I look forward to our chat.
Yeah, we're going to get some interesting things we want to test. I want to ask you here today. First thing I want to talk about is, what's kind of the, typical day in the legislature for you? Because I think a lot of people, they see you doing stuff during, like, question period and stuff like that. I think that's maybe all you do. But this, I imagine there's probably a little more for this. So take us through your daily routine, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I like your use of the daily routine there. And soon we'll be on to orders of the day, orders du jour. My day actually starts fairly early. I'm usually at the office by about 7:30, where we have a couple of meetings to get ready for the day. One of the interesting things about the legislature is, while I might know the pieces of legislation that are going to be called that day or what the plan of debate is, I'm actually not informed on all of the sort of interesting nuance of procedures, amendments, that sort of thing, because the government has their own set of lawyers, and the opposition, their lawyers is something that's called parliamentary counsel, and parliamentary counsel isn't able to share all of the information that they have because they have a solicitor-client relationship with the opposition or with private members. And so sometimes the things that are happening in there can be a bit of a surprise to the speaker, and so there's a bit of prep work that goes into trying to be as prepared for all of the solutions and all of the scenarios possible. So that usually starts first thing in the morning, and then following that I have a what's called a table officers meeting. That's usually half an hour or an hour prior to the start of session. And for a few days of the week, we sit from 9 till noon, and then from 1:30 till 6, and then lately we've been sitting 7:30 to 10:30. So there's quite a few hours of the day that are taken up inside the actual chamber and making sure that I'm ready for that, and then also preparing my deputy speaker and the deputy chair of committees, who also take a turn in the speaker's chair, to be prepared for what's going to be happening in there. And then the other thing that I do that's very important and takes up portions of my day is the speaker actually oversees the organization that's called the Legislative Assembly Office. So as you know, Kyle, there's three branches of government: the executive branch, which is the premier and cabinet; the legislative branch, which is the members of the Legislative Assembly; and then the judicial branch. And I sort of oversee the legislative branch, and so that branch, the Legislative Assembly Office, fulfills a lot of duties like visitor services. So all of the programs that we offer in a training perspective, school at the legislature, tours, gift shops, any of the visitor experience that happens when folks visit the legislative grounds, and then also responsible for the 87 constituency offices that are spread all across the province. And so there's about 500 employees who actually work to make our democracy work, and I oversee them, so that takes up a bunch of my time navigating and managing all of that people group as well. So there's a lot more to the day than just the question period, but I certainly enjoy each and every day.
One of the things you mentioned a little bit there is about sort of MLAs and cabinet ministers and all that. Now I know that using people's names in the legislature is not a good thing. Like whenever our boy Dan Williams does anything in there, he's always referred to as the Honorable Member for Peace River. But I am curious, when it comes to those MLAs who are also cabinet ministers, like let's take Minister Nicolaitis, for example. Okay, he's the Minister of Advanced Education. He is also the MLA for Calgary Bow, I believe. Now, when referring to those people in the legislature, is it considered unparliamentary, if you will, to refer to them as just the honorable member for da-da-da-da-da instead of whatever their cabinet minister title happens to be?
Well, I wouldn't put it in the unparliamentary category, but certainly it's a bit of a slight. And sometimes members, if they're displeased with Dimitri, for example, and so they don't think that he's doing a very good job as a minister, they might say, the member for Calgary, Beau. Now, it's not against the rules, but from time to time, like if they were to do that, I would certainly not use the member for Calgary, Beau. I would say the Honorable, the Minister of Advanced Education, and just remind the Assembly that we ought to use proper titles in there, and that means if you're a minister, you're called a minister, even if you're kind of being a little unkind, and or sort of slighting a minister. I think I certainly would just provide them a gentle reminder by emphasizing their title. It would be unlikely that I would actually stop them from calling someone the MLA or the member for, because it's still an honorable title, and it is a factual title as well. They are the member for Calgary, Beau, or Peace River, or in my case, Old Stittsbury Three Hills. Now, if somebody referred to the speaker as the member for Old Stittsbury Three Hills, that might be a different conversation.
All right. Nice to give a little bit of a insight that I was always wondering about that. Now, when it also comes to referring to people, by their MLA, cabinet minister, whatever, have you ever? How often do you find yourself kind of mixing up, like who's who? Like say, okay, the member for Edmonton, and you have to like think for a second to be like, okay, what riding are you from again? There's sometimes where I'm watching Questionnaire, and it's just picture like the gears turning in your head as you try to remember who they are. Have you ever? How often do you find yourself mixing up things like that?
Well, you know what? I actually had a really bad slip this week, which was funny. I should have called for the Honorable, the Minister of Jobs, the Economy and Innovation, which is Doug Schweitzer, but his previous title, and it hasn't been like since last July, I think, or maybe even longer. Oh no, way longer, because he changed justice about a year ago. But I called for the Honorable, the Minister of Justice and the Solicitor General, and he hasn't been that for 8 months. So it does happen. And there's a couple of Edmonton ridings that are very close, or at least close in my mind. The member for Edmonton Riverview and the member for Edmonton Rutherford. And sometimes I will be calling them and I was like, are they Riverview or Rutherford? And so there's a few sort of close ones like that. And then there's sometimes that I just totally draw a blank, or the other one, much of the opposition members, as you know, are from Edmonton, but they have two members from Calgary, the member for Calgary Buffalo and the member for Calgary Mountain View. And sometimes, particularly during question period, when I'm calling a bunch of opposition members in a row, and it's always Edmonton South, Edmonton Highlands Norwood, Edmonton, all these Edmonton seats. When I call Kathleen Ganley, who's the member for Calgary Mountain View, I have on occasion said, the Honorable Member for Edmonton Mountain, Calgary Mountain View. And she often gets a bit of a chuckle out of it. So, but most members are very, very forgiving and lighthearted about these sorts of things. I think that they often get a bit of amusement when the speaker forgets or mixes up their riding name.
Nice to get some interesting insight of that. Now, when it also comes to getting people sort of insight as to how sort of our so kind of the system works there. I know one thing you like doing is a lot of sort of outreach to schools around the province. And of course, we're about a couple months or about a few months so into the school year here. Now, how often do you kind of do that sort of school outreach, that kind of stuff?
Well, right now I'm doing a few schools every single week. Now, unfortunately, it's virtually, or fortunately, depending on how one looks at it. We moved a lot of our programming from visitor services to an online experience. The great thing about that is it allows us to reach out to, even more students. And so that's been very positive. And so I do a one-on-one interview with a number of schools each week, mostly grade 6 classes, and talk a lot about the role of our democracy, why it's important, how how a strong democracy builds strong communities and vice versa, how strong communities build strong democracies, why engaging in our democracy is important. And then I also take a bunch of questions from them that are always fun and interesting, wide-ranging from, you know, what's your favorite part of the job, what's the worst part of the job, how do you keep control of the assembly, that sort of thing. So I really enjoy being able to do that, and hopefully we'll be able to get back out on the road. I usually try at least once a year to take the mace out on the road, and it's a good chance to be able to connect with not just students but also community members. And so speaking at like Rotary clubs or Kinsmen clubs or Lions, or I also like to do a lot of outreach to new Canadians who sometimes in their home countries, democracy is often reserved for certain groups of people. But one of the amazing things about our democracy in Alberta that's different than lots of other places, and indeed Canada, but particularly Alberta, if you want to get involved, you can get involved. You can volunteer at the sort of most community level, and your efforts and your talents will allow you to rise to as high as you want. But that's not the case. That's not the case in the United States, not the case in lots of other countries where in America, you know, money drives so much of their democracy. You know, a congressman needs to raise like $12,000 a day essentially just to remain competitive, and so much about their role is fundraising and connections, where here in Alberta and in Canada, it's really your efforts. And so I think it's important for new Canadians to know that they can get involved in our democracy, that it's accessible to them, and that we need them to be involved in it. And so I think that one of my most important jobs is getting people connected to their democracy, and quite frankly, I don't care what their political views are per se, but just that they're engaging in the process.
And you talk about, and you mentioned a little bit there about talking to grade six classes. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I grew up at Strathmore, and I remember in grade six, we had a visit to our class from Lyle Oberg, who was the MLA for Strathmore at the time. And that right now, he was kind of boring in that. Whereas I'd like to think that you kind of try to make things a little more interesting for like grade six students out there.
Well, I effort to. I don't know that I hit the mark all of the time, but certainly I like to try to do that. And, you know, just like I think sometimes bringing brevity and humor to the chair can help create order and refocus members, I think that that's the same for grade six students, where if I can, you know, talk about some of the funny things that happen, or, you know, pretend to be the speaker at their class and how I would engage, or, you know, like tell them stories about how, you know, if they're ever watching Question Period, how they could know that I'm really upset, like what do I say then. And so there's lots of like little fun things that we can chat about that I think are quite engaging, or even telling interesting stories about the assembly. And there's lots of fascinating things, you know, something as small as the chair that I sit in has been the chair since 1937. The exact same chair has existed, and previously the tradition had been the outgoing speaker would take the chair with them, and we would get a new chair every speaker. But when Speaker Dawson passed away in office, he was the speaker from 1937 to 63, his wife of the day was like, why would I want that big ugly chair in my house? And so it wound up staying in the assembly and thus stopped the tradition of speakers getting the chair. And so we've had the exact same chair in the speaker's dais since 1937, since he became the speaker. So in whatever it is, 15 years, we're going to be celebrating the centennial of the chair. So I think that will be exciting.
Definitely sounds like you got a lot of interesting things to tell. So we'll probably have more for you down the road. But in the meantime, the Speaker of the Legislature, Nathan Cooper, thanks for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Kyle. Really appreciate it and happy to be on anytime.